Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Stoff and Show, we're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Coming up at 5:30, you'll hear from Clinton Yates as we check in with Yates on a Friday, as we are wont to do. Yates is going to chime in on the RFK story as well. He has, of course, covered this when he was back in D.C. working for the Washington Post, and has thoughts on it as someone who grew up going to games at RFK, who's lived in Ward 7. And so our usual Friday hit with Yates will go along those lines. Right now, though, we are going to do a very special edition of Not My Beat on the RFK story.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
And while this is not my beat anymore, because I don't have a beat anymore, now I'm just a talk show host, this is going to be our top story for most of the next 3 months. We are going to be following this closely. We'll follow develops as it happens, and we are hoping to talk with more and more people about it, from experts and economists to the mayor herself. So Mayor Bowser, if you're listening to our show, you also can call in like you did to Grant Danny yesterday. We will take your call. We have questions we would like to ask you. City council members as well. We are working on having a couple of city council members on, hopefully even as soon as next week. But there's been a lot of people who are talking already. And so what I want to do is go ahead and play you some of what you need to know, some of what you, I think you should hear from the participants involved here. So let's start with Charles Allen. Charles Allen is a city council member who currently does not support this deal.
With many of my colleagues, I've shared this with the chairman as well. I think he shared it with you yesterday. A majority of the council does not support this proposal as is. It's too much of on the public taxpayer dollar right now. I believe I have several colleagues, though, and I think all of us should be going into this process to try to get to a better deal, try to think through what could this look like. I think that there is certainly room to see changes to the deal that might garner the full support of the council. But as of right now, that majority is not there.
And you hear Charles Allen, a city council member, referencing Phil Mendelson talking on Grant and Danny the previous day on if the council supports the deal. Here is that.
You said you don't think there are the votes. Can you expound upon that? Are you pretty confident right now that they don't have seven people that would support this?
Well, you know, the problem with my answering a yes is that sounds a bit confrontative. And I don't wish to be confrontative at this point. But I think that if this was before the council today, they would not vote for it, in part because we don't know enough, but in part because they would see the price tag too high, and in part because we have not seen what the mayor is proposing with the budget and the cuts that we know they're going to be in the budget. You know, let me just say on that, the mayor's budget was due on April 2nd. We will, if we're lucky, get it the middle of May. That's 7 weeks late. And we expect that there's going to be close to $1 billion in program cuts in what she sends to us. What is she cutting, and where is she getting the money for the stadium? And I think with those unknowns, it's hard to say that she would have support right now.
So
one thing I'm curious.
These things get worked out.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I don't want the headline from you sports guys that oh my God, the council's about to stop to kibosh the stadium because I think that's premature.
So Phil Mendelson, I think, does a really terrific job there of saying, like, hey, I don't want, like, right now the answer is no, but that's because we don't know enough yet. Well, apparently that headline got back to none other than Mayor Bowser, who called in to Grant and Danny yesterday. This was not a setup interview. She called into the show to say that, hey, the lack of support, don't believe it.
Got in the car. I'm headed uptown to a meeting, and I just wanted to chime in because I love the presentation, but like so many economic development projects, there's a lot of misinformation, and we're looking forward to getting people all the information that they need. But the one thing that I have to say, I heard one of the members of the council who is opposed to this project, was opposed to it before anything was announced, is opposed to having an NFL stadium there at all, say that a majority of the council members don't support it, and that is false. He and one other council member have registered that they will vote no. And all other council members are working with us and the team to get the information that they need. We've been keeping them up to date for weeks about how negotiations were going, and they're very excited for the opportunity.
So Mayor Bowser's like, no, and for whatever it's worth, it's not just Mayor Bowser. Brooke Pinto is the Ward 2 city council member, and she was actually at Capital One Arena where Grant and Danny were on site the other day ahead of the Caps Game 5 win over the Canadians. And she also disagrees with the chair, Phil Mendelson, on whether or not there is enough support by the council to get this passed.
No, I don't. A couple things on this. So this is not a new bill or new law that we need to have 7 votes to pass. This is part of the mayor's budget proposal. So this needs to be referred to the Committee on Business and Economic Development Committee, which is chaired by Councilmember McDuffie. All 4 of those council members who you mentioned who were at the announcement on Monday serve on the business committee.
Okay.
So we would welcome the opportunity to have public hearings on this deal in the next couple of weeks, have a roundtable on it, dive into the details, hear from the public, move forward a committee report that's supportive of this development, and then it would go to the full council. Now, because it's part of the budget, if somebody wants to move an amendment to excise this entire deal and come up with a new proposal, that's in their right, but technically they would need 7 votes to do that.
So you start to get into some of those details and things get hairy, and we'll go through some of the details then. First, what do people want? That is one of the questions, and Brooke Pinto has thoughts on that.
The last several years, what I have heard is when I've spoken to communities about this all across the city, I've said, what if we could build a stadium, but also build housing and retail and hotels and green space? And you know what so many people said to me? That would be ideal, but that's not possible. You'll never make that happen. It's happening. It's all in the term sheet. This is what people have been calling for. And so this idea that we're going to, you know, turn our back on the opportunity for the largest economic development opportunity in our history is short-sighted, and I don't think is where we should be.
Mayor Bowser has more thoughts.
Well, the biggest thing that I want to correct is that this is going to be one thing or the other. I think people have in their minds the current RFK Stadium and the sea of parking that surrounds it. But what we're proposing is a vibrant, vital, mixed-use development with a built-in anchor. So there are going to be 5 separate districts. Arts and Entertainment District, the Stadium District, Kingman Park, where we think we can build up to 5,000 to 6,000 units of housing. There's going to be 30 acres of park space, and there's going to be the opportunity for us to have our own indoor sportsplex where our children, who now go out to Maryland and Virginia for indoor track and gymnastics and cheerleader, cheerleading will have a world-class space for themselves that the district is going to build. So these are all of the opportunities. But here's the other thing that I think is the big missing piece. And that is that you just snapped your fingers and 180 acres is developed with housing. It doesn't happen that way. What housing providers need is they need a catalytic anchor to get a site like that going. And having a built-in anchor that's bringing $2.7 billion in worldwide expertise is the jump start that this site needs. Without it, in 2030, we won't have a vibrant stadium that's generating revenue. What we will have is a slew of community meetings talking about what's going to happen there and the hope that it will deliver in the following 10 years. So the time for RFK is now. I heard some thoughtful comments about why don't we wait or why don't we try this first. We don't have that opportunity. We come to terms with the team, or the team is going to have to find a new location.
And so that is a huge part of this, right? If DC wants to spend some time waiting, and then they ultimately decided in 3 years, oh, the stadium was the best option. That stadium's going to be under construction in Landover. And if you're going to spend 5 years debating what's going to happen, and the stadium's going to open Landover 2.0, or even if it's whatever, but like that decision will have been made. Like, this is ready made now. This is one of the most compelling arguments, I think, for the stadium. But economists agree that you don't need a stadium to anchor a neighborhood. The Wharf is a great example of this. Now, if you want to say the Anthem as a concert venue anchors, but I think if you turn the Anthem into a bar, like, people would still go to the Wharf. You have great restaurants, you have housing, you have all the stuff. If you turn the Anthem into a grocery store, that might even be a better use for the people that live there and people that live in the area. Like, you'd have people going in and out, and this is the argument that economists make, right? But they do that in large. And there's a bunch of different stuff that I'm sure we'll get into with economists and others over the next couple of weeks. But that stuff is all going to take time to figure out. The RFK plans with the stadium are available right now, and they could get started and get going. So here's what Brooke Pinto, Ward 2 council member, said about what she would tell people who think they could do something better with the RFK land than a football stadium.
I would say it's been 35 years and it hasn't come. This is the best deal that has ever come to us. This is a good deal for district residents, for visitors, not just sports fans, although it is fantastically exciting for that. But it accomplishes so many of our goals. Look, one or two council members have said that they don't support this deal. You know, I think the vast majority of us are really excited. We understand how important this is going to be for our city, how galvanizing it will be for our city spirit to accept our residents and visitors from around the country and world to come to this site. There's no other stadium in the country where you can look out and see the water, see the National Monument, and really be part of the history of RFK and the nation's capital.
Compelling, certainly from a storytelling standpoint. And again, one more from Pinto here. She simply says this is the best opportunity to put this land to use.
This site of 180 acres of land has been sitting vacant for decades. This is the surest and fastest way to make productive use in an extremely exciting way, but also a successful way for our city. To bring the Commanders home, we're thrilled to do so, but also to build 6,000 units of housing, a third of which will be affordable, to build hotels, retail. We're going to have a sports complex for our kids so people don't have to take their families and their kids to play an hour or two away, as I speak to families about all the time. So there's so many community benefits as part of this deal that is an extremely important investment for the city that residents have been calling for. This has been sitting vacant. I have not seen another offer on the table or another deal on the table that would be a better use of this land. And so I think it's time that we move forward with the single largest private investment in our city's history.
Right. So you have the benefits. You also have the fact that you're not getting $2.7 billion. Now, a lot of that, if not most of that, is going to go to the actual stadium, but you're going to get a lot of private money here. And that is something that is probably worth mentioning, obviously, as
going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Well, so then the question is, how do you work out the details to get the people that are no to yes? And one of the big, things that we're going to spend time talking about, apparently, is parking. I think fans want to know that there's going to be a place to tailgate. And for someone like Charles Allen, he wants to know how the money's going to flow, because parking revenue is an enormous thing. And the way the current proposal is set up, Events DC is going to build the parking garages. But if you ask Charles Allen, pay attention to who gets the revenue. It'd be the Commanders, and he doesn't like that.
Oh, this is one of my favorite parts of the deal, though. So we would not only pay to build them, we would own them, and then under the terms of the deal, the Commanders get all the parking revenue from it, from the parking garages that we build and own. That's what I mean when I say this is a bad deal. It's a bad deal for the city right now. There's a lot of elements. If this is something that's going to happen, a lot of this has to change.
Would that parking revenue only be for home football games, or would it be any time like Beyonce comes, or I do stand-up comedy there, I'll probably sell out 65,000, 70,000, I'm sure. But you know what I mean? Like, is it for any event, or is it for
the night out with Grant and Danny?
Yeah.
When we're bringing in, we're gonna do the Pat McAfee bit, and we go 65K. You guys make that money, or the team?
The team does. So the way it works is that this is a development deal, right? So they're getting that. That's what the term sheet says, is that they get the revenue from all of that. That just isn't fair for DC taxpayers. If we're gonna pay to build this stuff, which again, I don't think we should be building 8,000 parking spots, that doesn't work. Think about another stadium. Think of Wembley in the UK. 90,000 seat stadium. They have 2,000 parking spots. Our ballpark has 1,250. There's no need for 8,000 parking spots. All you're going to do is just create a lot of people sitting in traffic, and then you're going to wall off the stadium, the fields, the river with a whole just bay of parking garages, a whole wall of parking garages. I just don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, and that's definitely not what I want to put your public tax dollar.
I got bad news for Charles Allen. Anthony, have you been to London?
I have not.
The public transportation in London, the tube, the train system, all that, it's a lot better than Metro. Also, the way taxis can get in and out of, in and around London is way different. There are taxi lanes specifically in London. It's a very common thing in Europe. Same thing is true when we were in Paris this summer. You'll see it when you go for your trip in June and July. But when we were there for the Olympics, you get in a taxi, and then you're basically in your own separate taxi express lane just for taxi drivers. You can't compare traveling in Europe to traveling in a major American city, because we are just unbelievable idiots when it came to how we designed our cities compared to what they do over there. And people want to drive to the games. And especially because you're going to have people coming in from Maryland and Virginia that are far away. It's not easy to get in. So going to Wembley in London is very different than going for Commanders fans, but also people from the region, because our country is a lot bigger. But Mayor Bowser says she's got a more specific complaint with the way that Charles Allen described all that.
that he doesn't understand complicated municipal finance and infrastructure finance. That's all that says to me. What it says is that that revenue wouldn't exist but for the stadium. And so we use revenue that wouldn't exist but for projects all the time to finance those projects. It's a very common tool. And so what else would he have us do than use the money generated on the project to make the project financially feasible?
Now, in fairness to the council member, my guess is his answer would be, I would make Josh Harris pay for it, and that money that is generated in revenue is going to then go to building schools and other things. And I think that could be construed as fair. But I just did a little math here. At 8,000 parking spaces, if every single parking space cost $80 for every single event, which is a number that I picked out of thin air, so we're 8,000 times 80. Anthony, you ready for you're mathing with my math here?
Oh, this is easy math.
8,000 times 80. And let's pretend there are 50 events a year, which is probably actually way too many. How many events do you think that there are going to be per year at this stadium?
Like, maybe like 25, 30.
So we have 8,000 times 80 space, $80 times 8,000 spaces. So that's $640,000 in gross revenue per event. Times 25 events is $16 million, which sounds like a lot of money. And it is. And look, $16 million ain't nothing to sneeze at. If Josh Harris is putting in $2.7 billion, like, we're talking about very, very small percentages of payback on parking revenue. And so this is where the conversation gets complicated. Is there a way to split that? Because that money could go a long way in D.C. to help build schools, update libraries, do whatever other public services you want to do, maintain green spaces. Like, pick any public service that involves building, or if, God forbid, you wanted to put it not in the Capital Works Fund and put it in the actual We Pay People Fund, and that money could go to paying firefighters and teachers, whatever. Like, these are the questions I want to ask Mayor Bowser. I would like to ask her, is that an option? Or is that just not how this business is done? And if it's not done that way, is there a way to do it that way? So these are the fights that they're going to have over the next 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks between now and July when this thing ultimately gets voted on. And we'll be following it. We're hoping to talk to more people. We're hoping to get some answers to those questions. But hopefully now you've heard a bunch of, different sides of it. You've heard different people make the different arguments. And maybe you're starting to develop more of your own opinion as we've tried to keep you informed here on The Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Of course, if you want even more on all of that, Sam Fortier and I sat down for about 45 minutes and discussed it earlier in the week. That full conversation, if you missed it the past couple of days on the radio show, is uninterrupted, uncut podcast form in our podcast feed. Just search The Hoffman Show or watch it in full on YouTube at Craig Hoffman. When we get back, Clint Yates chimes in on this whole RFK situation. He covered the Nats Park deal back in the day. Does he think that there are good parallels to draw between the Nats Park deal and the RFK deal? Yates, next.